Okay. All right. Thank you for your patience. Do I have a, is there an echo? Thank you for more patience. Okay.
Commissioners, if you can hear me, I cannot hear you. So I think you go ahead and get started with the meeting, and I'm going to join by my phone so I can hear.
Oh, thank you. All right. Then we will. Oh, there's an echo. Let me try it again. Oh, no echo. Oh, Lizette, we may have. Oh. Okay. Testing. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your patience. I am using my gavel to call to order this special meeting of the Civil Service Commission on Monday, August 11th at 2025 at 2:09 p.m. Our commission staff will read a statement with more information about our meeting today, and thereafter staff will tell us how we are handling public comment.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Civil Service Commission meeting, this month, August 11th. This meeting will help to have a form with the meeting occurring in person, safe and available to.
We're having difficulty hearing you. Could you restart that?
Yes. Good afternoon and welcome to the Civil Service Commission.
That works.
Okay. Okay, I'll start one more time. Good afternoon and welcome to the Civil Service Commission meeting. This month, August 11th, this meeting is being held in hybrid format.
No, it's not working.
I'll go get the script.
Okay.
If you can hear me and it's clear.
Yes, we hear you and it's clear. Okay, great. That sounds like a plan. We're having to, due to some technical difficulties and other things, having to win, as they say.
Punishment for a special meeting.
Okay,
apologies. Good afternoon and welcome to the Civil Service Commission meeting this Monday, August 11, 2025. This meeting is being held in hybrid format with the meeting occurring in person in City Hall Room 400 and available to view on WebEx. If you have an item scheduled on the agenda, the public may listen to the meeting by calling 415-655-0001 and using the access code 2664-569-9152. We welcome the public's participation during public comment periods. There will be an opportunity for general public comment on items not on the agenda at the beginning of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. Each comment is limited to 3 minutes. Public comment will be taken both in person and remotely by video or calling. For each item, the commission will take public comment first from people attending the meeting in person and then from people attending the meeting remotely. Commission staff will provide further instructions on how to provide public comment via phone or video. If you need assistance accessing the meeting virtually or by phone, please call 628-652-1100. Please note that city policies, along with federal, state, and local law, prohibit discriminatory or harassing conduct against city employees and others during public meetings and will not be tolerated. Moreover, public comment is permitted only on matters within the jurisdiction of this meeting body. Commission staff will now provide further instructions on making public comment remotely.
As stated on our agenda and our website, this meeting is being held in person and remotely. For members of the public attending remotely who wish to make public comment, the phone number is 415-655-0001. The meeting access code is 2664-569-9152. Please make sure that you're in a quiet location and that you turn off any television or radio to reduce background noise so the commission can hear you. At the appropriate time, the president will ask the phone lines to be open for any public comment. If you wish to comment on the particular item, you will be prompted to press star 3. This will add you to the speaker queue. The auto prompt will say that callers are entering question and answer time. You will be queued in the order in which you press star 3. There will be an automated voice that will tell you when it is your turn to speak. You will have 3 minutes. When your microphone has been unmuted, you will hear the meeting facilitator ask you to state and spell your name for the record and to make your comments. Commission staff will begin your 3 minutes when you start speaking. When your time is up, you will be asked to finish your comments and the meeting facilitator will place you back on mute.
Thank you. And Executive Director Ng, could you call the first item?
Item number 1, call to order and roll call. President Favetti?
Here.
Vice President Minor?
Here.
Commissioner Leung is excused. Commissioner Wood?
Here.
And we have a quorum.
Okay, shall we go on to the next item?
Item number 2, request to speak on any matter within the jurisdiction of the Civil Service Commission, but not appearing on today's agenda.
This is the opportunity to speak to the Commission on any matter within the jurisdiction of the Commission, but not appearing on today's agenda. Comments and general public comments should be directed to matters under the jurisdiction of the Commission. And if you have public comments and you are in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
President Favetti, if I may read. Mm-hmm. During general public comment, members of the public sometimes wish to address the Civil Service Commission regarding matters that may come before the Commission in its capacity as an adjudicative body. The Commission does not restrict this use of general public comment. To protect the due process rights of parties, however, the Commission will not consider statements made during general public comment in connection with the appeals before it. If members of the public have information that they believe to be relevant to a matter that will come before the Commission, they may wish to address the Commission during the public comment portion of that agenda item. The Commission will not consider public comment in connection with the matter it must decide without providing the parties an opportunity to respond. At this time, the Commission will take public comment on matters not on the agenda, but within the jurisdiction of the Commission. The maximum time allowed will be 3 minutes unless a significant number of speakers request to be heard, in which event the Commission President may elect to reduce the maximum time allowed. A subsequent comment made by an individual speaker after the initial allowance is limited to 1 minute.
I'll try to do this in 3 minutes. I'm 8 seconds over, so. Commissioners, my name is Larry Jacobs. I was before this honored commission on May 16th, circa 2022, to appeal a decision by the San Francisco Department of Human Resources to remove me from the H006 San Francisco Fire Department's fire investigators eligibility list for not meeting the minimum qualifications of having responded to 100 fires. And this went back to 2008. I was represented by my attorney, Jane Brunner, and at that hearing, we challenged some of the findings of DHR regarding the 100 fire requirement by presenting fires that were missed by the San Francisco Fire computer system that queries individual fire history. A vigorous back and forth between the city, myself, and my attorney ensued. And at the end of that hearing, this commission, or the commission, I should say, asked for more clarity regarding some of the issues we raised and set up a following hearing. On June 6, 2022, I made an encore appearance, represented this time by my lead trial attorney, the late great civil rights and labor attorney, Dan Siegel. After another round of robust back and forth, this commission rejected and denied the request by DHR to remove me from the eligibility list and granted my appeal. I wanted to come here personally and thank you for that just and reasoned decision. After the hearing, there was a bench trial held where the San Francisco Superior Court entered a judgment in my favor. And after denying a request by the city for a new trial, they appealed his decision to the appeals court, where the appeals court affirmed the jury's verdict that I was indeed retaliated against. Now, here's what you don't know, and I'll try to be very brief. At trial, my jury trial, and this was before the hearings, evidence was admitted regarding another firefighter who was promoted to fire investigator in 2015, who only had 23 fires. And at the time of the civil service hearing in June, he was already promoted to lieutenant with still only 87 fires according to his fire history report. Now, I do believe that he had way more than 100 fires, as did I. But what I most was disturbed about is when Commissioner Salveson asked the question to the city, has the fire department gone back and looked at other firefighters? The San Francisco Deputy City Attorney never spoke up and always referred to the 2018 list, even though I was cross-examined in great length and depth at my jury trial. In the end, she also advised this commission that the judge is bound by your decision, yet she argued the opposite to the court, probably because it didn't fit their narrative. And subsequent briefs, I was referred to as negligent, intentionally deceptive, and they even compared me to convicted felons that they cited a case, the Camp case, and said what I did was far more serious. All I can say is to this, I take great exception, and I find what was said inaccurate and perhaps disingenuous. Forget all that. I'm here to once again express my gratitude to this commission. Your wisdom, your judgment, and your discernment will not be forgotten, and I am forever grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's another individual in the room who wishes to make public comment. Come to the podium. If there's anyone on the phone, if you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
President Pizzetti, we do have a hand raised on the phone.
Okay, let's go ahead unmute the person.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Thornton, and hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Cheryl Thornton, and I'm here to give public comment about an employee who was terminated from the City and County of San Francisco. The employee's name was Cheryl Fields, and she was terminated in late March of 2025. I believe early April, she submitted a civil service. She wanted to have a civil service hearing, but as of to date, she has not been able to get her civil service hearing. On April 29th, she did an intake with EEO because I guess a civil service complaint referred it because something was about discrimination in the complaint, so it was referred to EEO. She did the intake April 29th. With DPH, SFDPH, but somehow or another, DHR had another complaint open, and they said that they closed her complaint after trying to contact her many times. We're not understanding why DHR and DPH both had a ticket open for a EEO complaint, and yet they didn't know, either one didn't know that both had it open, so then one complaint was closed. Since then, after doing the intake, no one has contacted her to do any further investigation. They just say on an email, we'll get back to you if we need to. In the meantime, they said she can't have her civil service hearing because she hasn't, the Department of Public Health has refused to, for whatever reason, give whatever paperwork is needed so that civil service can hold this meeting. And then they turned around and said they couldn't do anything because EEO hasn't finished their investigation. Meanwhile, this employee has been terminated, and she had a permanent class. She was permanent in the health worker 4 and 3, but she got permanent restrictions from the city. And so she's trying to be heard on this matter so she can have that lifted. So this has just been going around in a circle. DHR has had an EEO complaint open as well as SFDPH, and neither one knew what either one was doing. So once again, the EEO process in the city and county is broken, but also are all these other processes. And so I want to know how the employee can ever have a hearing at civil service, because they're claiming they can't do it because of all the other people not responding in a timely manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, shall we go on? Are there any further public speakers or speakers on the phone? Deputy Director Holmes.
There are no more callers.
Okay, shall we go on to the next item?
Item 3, approval of minutes, regular meeting of July 21, 2025. Recommendation, adopt the minutes.
Commissioners, do you have any amendments, edits to the minutes? Do we have a motion?
I move that we adopt the minutes of our meeting of July 21, 2025.
Second.
Okay, do we have any public comment on the motion to adopt the minutes from July 21st, 2025? If you're in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
No public comment.
Okay, and there's no one in the room. I will do a roll call vote. Vice President Minor.
Aye.
Vice President Jackie.
Yes.
Commissioner Wood.
Aye.
And I vote aye. The vote is unanimous, 3-0, to adopt the minutes of July 21st, 2025. So shall we go on to the next item?
Item number 4, announcements. Announcements of changes to the agenda. There are no changes to the agenda.
Okay, I'm going to be asking commissioners if there is any item on the ratification agenda that they wish to sever. That's the personal services contract ratification agenda. We do not have a consent agenda this time around, so I won't be asking about that. So, commissioners, Vice President Minor.
No, I will not sever anything on the agenda.
Commissioner Wood.
Yeah, I don't have anything to sever either.
And I don't have anything to sever either. Is there any member of the public that has a request to sever an item from the ratification agenda, item number 7? If you're in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, press star 3 now.
No public comment.
Okay. I shall do the roll call vote. Vice President Minor?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
And I vote aye. So there's no further severance and whatever, just automatic as far as the severance is. Okay, so should we go on to the next item?
Item 5, Human Resources Director's Report.
President Favetti, members of the commission, I'm sorry for your special meeting. My one report is not a great one. Has to do with an arbitrator that we haven't known for a long time, but have come to work very closely with. His name was Najib Khoury. He passed away over the weekend. Arbitrator Khoury sat as our interest arbitrator at both the SEIU and Local 21 tables in the last round. He was the sitting executive director of the Los Angeles County Employee Relations Board, their internal public employment relations board. And he was also a sitting commissioner for the Labor Relations Board in the city of Los Angeles, had a robust arbitration practice, was very young, 47 years old, died of cancer, and he was really, in large part, the mediator architect of the personal services contract pilot program that we devised in bargaining in the last round that was going to advise, that will advise this commission on specific named personal services contracts over the next 2 years that our labor partners object to. And we were looking forward to working with Arbitrator Corey to help us through that process. But I just wanted to let this commission know this is a big loss for all of us, and we're going to miss him a lot. So,
would you like us to adjourn the meeting in his memory?
Yes, please.
If you could, the last name is spelled?
Corey, K-H-O-U-R-Y.
And his first name?
Najib, N-A-G-E-E-B.
N-A-G-E-E-B?
Yes.
Okay, we will do that.
And we can send that to the Los Angeles City Employee Relations Board and to their chairperson. I think they would appreciate that.
In view of his
that.
Significant contributions to the City and County of San Francisco, and specifically the Civil Service Commission and the Department of Human Resources.
Yes.
I think that that would be appropriate to adjourn it in his memory.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I will give you his middle name in just a second.
Okay.
Yes.
Just pass it on over, all right?
Yes.
Did you have any other items to report?
That's it. Hopefully in September we will have more business matters for the commission.
Thank you. I will ask for public comment on the Human Resources Director's report. If you're in the room, come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
We have no public comment on the phone present.
Okay. Commissioner Wood would like to say something.
I just wanted to say I had the pleasure of working with Mr. Corey during Local 798's last round of bargaining in his role as interest arbitrator and mediator, and he was a true gentleman, a pleasure to work with, very fair. This is very sad news, but thank you for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
Carol.
Thank you. Okay, so there's no public comment, so shall we go on to the next item?
Item 6, Executive Officer's Report. I do not have any reports for the commission. We do have many reports coming up in the next two meetings, so just to be prepared for that.
Thank you very much. Okay, shall we go on to the next item?
We are on the ratification agenda. All matters on the ratification agenda are considered by the Civil Service Commission to be non-contested and will be acted upon by a single vote of the Commission. There will be no separate discussion on these items unless a request is made, in which event the matter shall be removed from the ratification agenda and considered as a separate item. Item 7, review of requests for approval of proposed personal service contracts. And the recommendation of the Human Resources Director, adopt the report, approve the request for proposed personal service contracts, notify the Office of the Comptroller and the Office of Contract Administration.
Okay. I will ask just as a precaution, once again, is there any individual who wishes to sever a contract on the ratification agenda, item number 7? No. Okay. And so I'm going to be taking a motion and
I move that we adopt the report and approve the request for proposed personal service contracts, notify the Office of the Comptroller and the Office of Contract Administration.
Second the motion.
Okay, any public comment on the motion? And if you're in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
No public comment present for voting.
Okay, so I'll do the roll call vote. Vice President Minor?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The vote is unanimous. So to approve the personal services contract on item number 7, adopt the report and forward them on to the Comptroller and the Office of Contract Administration. So now we're on the regular agenda. Executive Director Ng, we want to call the next item.
Item 8, request for status grant from class 1934 storekeeper to the 1939 police evidence technician. Recommendation of the Human Resources Director, adopt the staff report and grant status to 1939 to the affected incumbents in the SFPD Property Control Division.
Okay, do we have a representative from the Police Department, Human Resources Director, to make a report? This is a happy occasion here.
Good afternoon, Civil Service Commission. I'm Benjamin Houston, the Human Resources Manager of the SFPD. And I'd like to thank you, President Pivetti, as well as Director Eisen and Director Ng for your presence. This afternoon, we have we are absolutely respectfully requesting that the Civil Service Commission grant status to the 1939 evidence technicians, to all incumbents, all nine, working at the SFPD in our property control. The SFPD received an out-of-class claim filed by SEIU, who are our union partners, and we thank them throughout this entire process. It's been lengthy. They filed the claim several years ago. Thank God we're here today to probably bring an end to this lengthy process. And I also want to thank the patients for all of our incumbents, the 1934s that do hard work day in, day out in our property control, very difficult work. But they're intimate to enforcing and solving crimes throughout the San Francisco and the diverse community we serve. And so specifically, the union alleged that members do not perform the work and the requisitioning receipt, insurance, storage, and inventory of materials and supplies and equipment, but instead deal with police evidence, which has been determined to be true, that they are the unique things that they handle, be it currency, ammunition, weapons, are different than paper clips, reams of paper. And so that was actually confirmed. And they work closely with our staff, with our compensation and classification team. And after the adoption of a newly created classification and salary schedule, all incumbents were transitioned into an appropriate corresponding new classification that is the 1939 evidence technician classification. And we made exempt appointments September 30th of 2023, very soon thereafter this class was created. And so it is our recommendation that the Civil Service Commission grant status to the affected incumbents into the class 1939 evidence technicians. And please, as recommended by Carol Eisen, that this report be adopted.
I just have a couple, I just have one question, but also just to confirm my understanding, but the other is I was really pleased to see that there's a promotive line. That really, I think that's going to be a really, and it's, I believe that it's absolutely essential. I think this is substantially different. I totally agree with the new classification and the promotive line. And I just wanted to confirm that my understanding on page 4 and your understanding are the same thing. What's going to happen here is, the analysis, this request for status grant will restore permanent seniority to the newly created 1939. That means you're going to be forwarding all their seniority from their former class. And so everybody's going to be going back into order, not this, the exempt.
100% present.
Okay, perfect. Okay, any commissioners have any questions?
I do have a question. First of all, thank you for the work, and thank you for the collaboration with our union partners to make this happen. You know, over the last few years, our commission has looked at our processes and really started to pay attention to timelines. And I'm wondering if you have any reflection on how this could have been done faster.
I do. Looking back on this process, it's most unfortunate that this claim was filed just before COVID hit. It started at the end of 2019, and that caused a little bit of a wrinkle with regards to our priorities, and our agency had really shifted. Particularly, it's no secret that our staffing mandate really changed, and our resources became more stretched and thin, and our priorities just shifted. But notwithstanding, although this process took a little bit longer, right away, Deputy Chief Gregory did see the issue, and we immediately started doing acting assignment pay. That was the most we could do at that time. We gave all of the incumbents a 5% bump while we were working on this in the meantime. And so, and that's why I did share earlier, the minute this class was created, we immediately cut exempt requisitions and got them. That was the most we could do. But in hindsight, this was a lengthy process, and if we could do it all over again, it would be not during COVID, and that we would be able to work with the compensation classification team sooner.
Thank you.
One question, I saw in the report that the incumbents are coming over with their city seniority intact, and I was wondering, once the class was created, were they brought over at the top salary step, or do they have to work their way up the newly created steps?
as per the provisions of the MOU, that's what was applied, and they all went up to the top step with the new classification.
So, new hires in the future will travel up the steps that have been designed.
Okay. Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I just Carol Eisen, Human Resources Director, want to support the statement that Mr. Houston made, which is that the incumbents received a 5% wage increase immediately while the staff work was being conducted. And I just I want to make sure that Steve Ponder, our Director of Classification Compensation, is recognized for his work. It seems when it's presented to you that it should have been simple. It never is. And so I'm glad that he worked closely with the department, and I think everybody's satisfied with the result, and I hope that the commission approves this unanimously.
I just want to reinforce there's lots and lots of steps, and that's also to have the foresight to have a promotive line I thought was particularly good. And so if Steve Ponder, if you happen to be out there listening to this, which I doubt, but I'm going to say thank you, Steve Ponder, from our heart, from us.
I also want to include his team. They were also intimately involved. Yes. I want to see Steve Ponder's team. Okay. Yeah, they were also involved. And I'll never forget the union partners, and I do want to end, are the incumbents. I want to thank them for their patience. I want to thank them for bringing it to our attention so that we could get on it and try to mitigate this error.
And yes, and the entire team, thank you for including. So is there a motion by any chance?
I move that we adopt the staff report and grant status to the 1939 to the affected incumbents.
Second the motion.
Okay, is there any public comment on the motion? If you're in the room, come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
No public comment on the phone.
Okay, I will do the roll call vote. Vice President Minor?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The vote is unanimous, and the report is adopted, and status is granted to 1939 and to the affected incumbents in the San Francisco Police Department Property Control Division. Congratulations all. Thank you. Okay, shall we go on to the next item?
Item 9, proposed amendments to Volumes 1, Miscellaneous Classifications, and 4, Service Critical Classifications, Civil Service Commission Rules Series 02, Definitions, 10, Examination Announcement and Applicants, 11, Examinations, 11A, Position-Based Testing, 12, Eligible Lists, 13, Certification of Eligibles to Remove De-Identification. Recommendation, accept the executive officer's NDHR staff reports, incorporate all changes made by the Civil Service Commission, and adopt the proposed amendments to remove de-identification in Volumes 1, Miscellaneous Classifications, Rules 102, Definitions, 111, Examinations, 111A, Position-Based Testing, 112, Eligible Lists, 113, Certification of Eligibles, and Volume 4, Service Critical Classifications, Rules 402, Definitions, 410, Examination Announcements and Applicants, 411, Examinations, 411A, Position-Based Testing, 412, Eligible Lists, and 413, Certification of Eligibles. Commissioners, just for a brief background and for the record, DHR had, at the commission meeting of December 2nd, 2024, reported that the implementation of the de-identification process in 2018, basically all the work involved not only in proposing the rule amendment, but also the work of DHR and all the HR staff in the city, unfortunately did not provide the type of results we would hope for, especially in expanding equity. And what DHR was found that there was actually a delay in the hiring process because of the labor involved in redacting every single application before it can be reviewed. So when DHR decided to remove de-identification, the Civil Service Commission went ahead to look at proposing removing de-identification from the rules. Although it was proposed to the Commission in March 3rd upon advisement by the our Deputy City Attorney, we made some changes. The Commission approved of the proposed amendments for posting on June 2nd. DHR and MTA sent out the notice to all the recognized unions for any meet and discuss. We did meet with two unions. That would be MEA and SEIU 1021. We were able to answer their questions, and there were no further questions. After two meetings, there were no further requests from other unions. And so now we have the report before you, the recommendation to adopt, so we can make that official in the Civil Service Commission rules.
Thank you. And thank you to DHR for the for meeting with the unions and organizing and that, and also for your letter to verify and to document that we have met our obligations under the MMBA. So do we have any comments, questions? Commissioner Wood?
Thank you for the extensive reports, DHR. And I can see the amount of work that this must have consumed, both implementing de-identification and then trying to register if it made any impact. From what I can see is we don't have a lot of useful data to draw conclusions. We don't have a lot of lists of over 50 where more than five were hired to really draw meaningful conclusions. The few examples we have show it appears to be a small improvement, but not enough to justify the time and labor involved to implement the program. So my concern is, while I appreciate the work that the Career Center is doing and all the efforts on outreach and recruitment, the specific issue that de-identification was trying to target was the potential for implicit or explicit bias by a hiring officer or a hiring manager. And so given that there was any positive impact at all, implies that there might have been a little bit of implicit bias. So I'm wondering if DHR and the departments have had any discussions or plan to have any discussions about how to tackle that specific problem without the tool of de-identification in a way that's workable.
Well, I'm going to ask Director Biaspis to approach the podium, but we have instituted very rigorous required training for anybody that sits on a hiring panel that explicitly talks about bias in the selection process and make certain requirements. And we also now require that all the records be kept and stored and I'm sure it's improved Director Ng's inspection service by having access to those records, because that from where we sit, where the issues come in are in the interview panels that are making the selections. And so we've tried to target those panels with requirements and training. But I think Ms. Biaspis may have something she wants to add here.
Actually, Director Eisen answered most of it. Thank you for calling me up. But yes, we do have implicit bias training. We also have training for all raters. Every year they're required, if they're going to serve on a panel, they're going to go through training, and it's required every year, even for me, even for, you know, everybody else. And I believe our workforce development team is coming up with additional trainings. Unfortunately, the workforce development director isn't here, but I know we're in discussions of adding trainings with regard to implicit bias and just, you know, reviewing the responses to the questions as they are stated.
I also believe the last group of rule changes that we made really expanded the net with regard to promotions and having rule of the list on a lot of classifications that were not normally rule of the list before.
Yes.
And so that has, I think, also been able to, should help with our overall recruitment and, you know, and expansion, possibly.
Yes. With all the, I think you termed it EEOCE rules, enhancing employment opportunities for city employees, for those that don't know what that acronym is. All of those are rule of the list, and those are for current city employees that possess, the people that would qualify already possess the knowledge, skills, and abilities of the classification. So it will be a lot easier to choose from. We still have to screen based on job-related criteria. So you are correct. It will make things a lot easier.
Thank you very much. Any further questions?
Just a comment. I was appointed. Oh, I'm sorry. I disappeared.
Oh, no, you're there.
I see you.
Oh, you can see me. Okay, whatever this is for, I'm off of the screen. Anyway, when I joined the commission in 2019, and the first de-identification report was submitted to the commission after my appointment. Back in 2019, there were questions about the efficacy of this process.
Yes.
And also an understanding of the significant burden. And so I appreciate the fact that we continued for a number of years thereafter to try to identify whether or not this was a tool.
Yes.
That would help us get at implicit bias, which frankly exists in our world. And but it is really important for the public sector to look at tools that just don't work and that create a bureaucracy that slows down the process, slows down hiring, and I think de-identification unfortunately did all of that, even though the goal is a stated goal that we all agree is necessary to continue to improve the employment process, but also make the employment process as fair as possible. So I really appreciate the work and all of the excellent reports, given the limited data that oftentimes you had that you presented to the commission since 2019 when I joined the commission. So thank you, and thank you for the progress. And I appreciate Commissioner Wood's follow-up about what is it that we're going to continue to do to make sure that implicit bias does not impede the opportunities for fair employment practices by the city. So. Thank you for your work, and Director Eisen, thank you.
Thank you.
We also, just so everybody knows, we follow closely from a global perspective across the enterprise, meaning the whole city, how we're doing in terms of demographic diversity. And it's actually been pretty steady, if not improving, you know, in terms of the gender racial mix across the city over time. And so I don't think we can call out one particular effort, but we've done a lot, from pipeline work at the entry levels to making sure people who are in our system have plenty of opportunity to move through the system, to training and, in our own form, regulating our selection panels so that everyone has an opportunity, and the city is an open and fair employer.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments?
Commissioners, if I could also add, and thank you, Commissioner Wood, for asking that question, because it actually takes several departments involved. And what I mean is that we're still working closely with the Office of Racial Equity, and as I explained to you, the opportunities for all opportunities for all program, where it's funding coming from the outside, and departments, giving departments like our small department opportunity to provide work experience for high school and young adult, just to see what it's like working in the city. There's also the San Francisco Unified School District that we're still trying to work with, where they actually fund, but if the departments were willing to provide internships. I explained to you how MTA was very great, and the help with the union to create opportunities for these type of programs where as soon as they are high school graduates, they're eligible for an exempt appointment that leads into qualifying for an apprenticeship program. So there are many departments, Public Utilities Commission and the airport, you already know, have all the student design trainee positions, and they're coming to us all the time letting us know what they're doing, how they could expand, and how they go about recruiting actually in the Bay Area, reaching different communities. So it takes, a collaboration, everyone working with DHR with that. And I know Community College has also contacted office because there's a change of staffing, and they did not realize how much we knew about the programs they provide, which can help applicants qualify, meet the MQs just through their certificated programs. So we are working on that also, about how we can expand opportunities. And I am still continuing training departments, not just HR, it's racial equity leaders, it's hiring managers, basically anyone who shows an interest. I'm all out, and they're hearing things for the first time. I would love to do that with the fire department and the police department. It's amazing what I see our public safety, what they do, how they go about recruiting in the communities, very active in that. So there is much more. All of us, of course, are working with DHR to let them know what's going on, but it's the partnership with all the departments getting involved, even the mayor's economic and workforce development, they're doing also. They're always inviting us, will you attend our meetings, because they would love to hear our feedback.
Thank you. Okay, any more? Do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the staff reports, incorporate all the changes made by the Civil Service Commission, and adopt the proposed amendments to remove de-identification.
Second the motion.
Okay, do we have any public comment on the motion? If you're in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, press star 3 now.
I do have one caller on the phone.
Okay, let's go unmute the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, yes, my name is Cheryl Thornton. And so what I want to say is I was originally against de-identification, and I still am. But if the city moves forward with ending de-identification and hiring, we cannot pretend that implicit bias will just disappear on its own. The data is clear. White managers are overrepresented in San Francisco leadership ranks, while black employees are underrepresented despite years of committed to equity. The imbalance does not just happen by accident. It happens. It is the result of structures, policies, and practices that advantage some employees over others. If we are ending one bias reduction tool, we have an obligation to replace it with a stronger, measurable system that actually closes these gaps. I've been working for the city for 30 years. We've been working on equity, myself, Brenda Barrows. We don't see any improvement. And now you guys are ending de-identification, which we didn't even want, but then yet you have nothing else to replace it with. And as far as the hiring panels, we were told that they don't even have to be diverse anymore. So we're just going in a circle. And I'm sure in 5 more years, we're gonna come up and say, the data hasn't gotten any better yet, and yet you're implementing all these policies. And furthermore, I heard that they're going to keep the civil service list private. Why would the civil service list have to stay private? Why can't it be transparent so that everybody can see what's happening? So I don't know. I think the city, we haven't made any headway with this data. It's still the same thing going on with black employees at the bottom. And yet now we're ending this and we're not really implementing anything else at all. And as far as opportunities for all, I'm very well versed on that program, and it's actually these internships and opportunity for all are facing cuts. Everything that gets Title I money is facing cuts. And this particular summer, a lot of the black youth that were in Opportunity for All were at San Francisco State in a classroom setting. They were not even in the workforce. Many of them were just sitting in the classroom. So if you, I'm not sure what's going on, but this is not equity. Thank you.
Ms. Thornton, I'm going to be asking you to contact the Executive Director, Sandra Ng, after the meeting for clarification on a number of the points that you've made here. So are there any other public speakers? Deputy Director Holmes?
We do have one other caller.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Let's go. Caller, you're unmuted.
Hello. My name is Brenda Barrows. I'm on my lunch break now. The reason I'm calling is because back when de-identification was implemented, what I said then and what I'll say again is just going back to the status quo is not acceptable. We know what happens with the status quo. And that's what I see on parts of the hiring panels are going back because they're saying they can't find enough people. It's too hard for the managers to make their panels diverse, which means that that same problem, if you don't have any black people to get on your panel, then you have a bigger problem. And I'm watching some of the hiring that's happening too. In my area, there was just a hiring of 2903. Within that group of 2903, there were four Asians and one black person, and he only got in because we filed out of class for him because they were working him out of class. So, but I almost can be sure that if it not for his situation, he would not have been like it. It might have been all Asians. So, when you say, what is it happening, that's why we need to see the list. If we can't have the identification, and you can't assure us that people cannot just look on the list and pick and choose who they want, then the list needs to be made so that we all can see it, so that we can do that oversight. Because nobody's going to do that oversight. Who's going to do that oversight? How are people going to know if they've been wronged? Right now, we were relying on a system. We were trusting HR that all these things that they say were being done in the background were happening. But now we don't have any way to verify it. So, how can we trust it? So I really think that, you know, if you're going to take that away, what is going to replace it? Can't be nothing. It can't be go back to the status quo. Because I also am hearing from a lot of the few black people that are getting hired, and those who are dealing with EEO know there's an awful lot of problems when black people come into our system still. And that needs to be addressed as well. So, you know, you might hire a few, but just, you know, a clinical pharmacist is an example I'm using right now. You guys told us you can't find qualified people. A very highly qualified man came to work for DPH who is black, and he has had a problem from the day he got here. So, you know, and now they're trying to harm his career. I mean, it's horrible what's happening to that man.
Thank you, Ms.
And his whole goal was to come here and take care of our population. So all these things need to be looked at, and you need to come up with something else. And if you can't come up with something else, then the list needs to be able to be seen.
Thank you, Ms. Barros. Mm-hmm. Deputy Director Holmes, are there any further public comment?
I see another hand, but they may have spoke already. Let me check. Caller, do you
have I already spoke. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No further public comment?
No.
Okay, I'll be doing the roll call vote on the motion to adopt the staff report, or accept the staff report and adopt the proposed amendments to the rules. Vice President Minor?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The vote is unanimous, 3-0. Shall we go on to our next item?
Item 10, public comment on all matters pertaining to item 12, including public comment on whether to hold items 12 in closed session. Item 11, vote on whether to hold items 12 in closed session. Item 12, request for hearing by Luca Del Abate, former 6230 street inspector with the San Francisco Department of Public Works on their conditional future employment restrictions. Recommendation of the Human Resources Director, adopt the report, uphold Department of Public Works decision, conditional restriction on positions that require driving until such time that appellant can furnish 1 year of satisfactory external employment that requires driving. Deny the appeal by Luca Del Abate.
Okay, is there any public comment on the matter on pertaining to hearing item number 12 in closed session? If you're in the room, please come to the podium. If you're on the phone, please press star 3 now.
President Cavetti, there's no public comment on the phone.
Oh, thank you. So shall we have a motion on whether to hold item number 12 in closed session?
I move that the commission move forward with having agenda item 12 in closed session.
Second the motion.
Okay, I'll do the roll call vote in that we've already had public comment on the possible motion to hold the item in closed session. Vice President Minor?
Aye.
Commissioner Wood?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The vote is unanimous, 3-0. We will be holding item number 12. Request for hearing by Luca Del Abate, former 6230 street inspector with San Francisco Public Works on the conditional premature employment restrictions in closed session. Okay, so only those individuals who are here to address item number 12. Appellant Abate? Del Abate? Del Abate, okay. All right. We have the department representative.
I'll be putting us in practice session.
Okay. Are these okay? And Mr. Sherberg. Okay. Must be auspice. All right. And you're with her. All righty.
It's 3:05.
Okay. There we go.